Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Logans. This is Mitch. Brad is out. He's crippled today. Bird is here.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Bird, we're not at my house. We're not at Brad's house.
No, it's like the tour. We're going to have a t-shirt with with the dates and locations.
Lulligan the tour t-shirt.
Tour
t-shirt. We are in Mark Gardner's basement. Mark Gardner, owner of Euro Electric, sponsor of the podcast, man about town, and a sexy beast.
Well, you know, it's I've earned that title, so I appreciate it.
Which part? All of them?
All of it.
Quite the
all
resume.
Yes. Mark is the main sponsor of this show by his contributions. Whenever you guys use him, he contributes a little bit of the income he makes towards the Lulligans, and that's gone to buy us new equipment and pay off my car and other things. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Damon Moore for the job that we just did a couple weeks ago, and appreciate that. And it goes right back to the Lulligans.
Give out that phone number, Mark.
That would be 314-814-3897.
Again?
314-814-3897.
With feeling?
Oh.
So, you need electric, you need to call Mark. Mark's taking care of us. Mark's our grill master with Eric. They take care of us at the Foods. They're going to be taking care of us in a couple weeks at the USA game. Literally, what, 13 days or something like that, I think I read?
Is it the second today? So, I mean, we're Eric's 11 days away.
11 days away.
I think Eric's going to be thrilled that you included him.
Yeah, well, I was going to call him Mark Bonita. Or Eric Gardner, which one is
you
it?
Can leave that up to Jeremy.
That's right. So since we're doing the world tour, the Conquer All podcast, I guess, we'll have to come up with some clever name. We have three of our contributors here, no less. I forgot all three of you were big money contributors. Matt House.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Jason McAdams.
Greetings, all.
Marcus. How are you? They're all so sexy. Can you take it all on one? Isn't this usually where somebody talks about the baritone voices and stuff like that? Wasn't that...
I'm just happy we have a female here tonight.
We do?
Yeah, Mark Gardner.
All right, so let's get down to business now that we're done insulting Mark for a while. As I said, 11 days from now, U.S. men's national team versus some island that we're probably going to struggle against.
Two islands we're going to struggle against.
Sorry, my bad.
I don't know. If one wasn't bad enough, we have to deal with two.
I wish Aruba would have won. It'd been so much easier. We're playing Aruba. It would have been so much easier to remember.
Exactly. Grenadine and...
St. Vincent.
St. Vincent. That's it.
And or the Grenadines.
Yes. We'll just
call it Grenadine.
Yeah. We're playing a fruit.
A liquor. It's a liquor, I believe. Grenadine. They put a few more tickets on sale today, Busch Stadium, which means that there's not a lot left. That means they're really selling a lot. If they're putting them on sale today...
At $70 a pop, they're going to sell every single ticket they can.
Yeah.
Does that mean the visiting team doesn't have any large traveling
teams? I'm imagining they probably still have to keep those available. We'll have to check their Twitter account tomorrow.
You know, they were given 2,000 tickets, and they were like, the whole island can't come.
We can't shut the country down.
Someone's got to stay and watch the dogs.
That becomes an emigration policy that you have to put in. But, so it's going to be quite the event. I know that there is a monster TIFO being painted. We've got our crew working on that. And that's kind of the nice thing, too, seeing a lot of the Lulligan people that are always active doing AO active stuff. It's kind of crossing over a little bit here. It's granted, we all, Lulligan should be AO and AO should be Lulligan, but... You know, to see the people jumping in and doing things, I think it just means we got to do some big-ass TIFOs next year.
They'll be working more on the TIFO tomorrow night, or Tuesday night when you're listening to this.
Maybe. Depends on how fast I get this out.
You're also assuming we're all American. I mean...
He is American.
Got a damn Brit right here.
I'm a U.S. citizen, my son.
Oh, whatever. I always remember the old country.
First of all, he's a kept man. You have to remember that.
I have a blue passport.
What's more American than changing someone over? Yeah.
Well, you're insinuating he has a job. That's the first part. These immigrants come over here and just
steal
don't
your
work.
Women.
I've been trying to become a stay-at-home dad forever now. He took my job.
I'm an author. God damn you all.
Don't forget to buy on Amazon. You can go and
I might reach double figures soon.
Ooh, easy. I've only bought it once. Do I need to buy it a second time to pump you up a little bit?
For sympathy.
Okay.
That's exciting. My name was Nat. Now I'm on a podcast. 2015 has been a pretty big year for me.
Yeah, you're living the life, man. I mean,
probably going to need an agent soon.
Good luck with that. We're all counting on you. So it's going to be a huge party. Mark, I believe you and Eric are doing the food duties again for the AO side, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. I give, yeah, apparently so. no, we'll be pulling a couple grills down there, and you know, we're going to have a short time to do it, just like we do at the games, and we'll pump it out like we always do.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to have a fantastic march to the stadium, led by Clydesdales, as we've mentioned. That's going to be pretty awesome. We're going to have an awesome time at the game because that's what we do. We know how to keep it up.
I don't know. The Grenadines might be handy.
Well, I mean,
we were laughing about them before. I mean, careful what you wish for.
I think we've learned that on this podcast many times over, haven't we? And then, new news here today is that there's a little bit of a conversation going on with our favorite bar in Soulard to maybe have a little post-game action with a little beer company called Shafley.
Ooh. I'm familiar with their work.
Depends on how drunk Mark gets. So
as long as Jason dances with me, I'll be all right.
There you go.
Well, that's happening anyway.
So we should know a little bit more about that in the next day or two. So keep your eyes to the usual news sources that we provide. But old post game action.
That's the go to place after the game.
I'm thinking so. It should be anyway, to be honest with you, just because of the volume of quality beers on tap. But you know, now there might be an additional reason to go. So how about that? Winners all around.
We'll have to really pump it so we get Lexi and Taylor out there after the game. You know, Ian Dark, come on, son.
You go. I like how this is thinking. This is shaping up. All right, Sarah, ITAP, we got to get on this now. So, other news going on. Town Hall, still scheduled for November 21st, 6 p.m. at Soccer Park. Everyone is invited. That's a Lugan. That's not just season ticket only. It's any of us. The owners want to sit and talk to us. We've mentioned it many times before. These guys are not only just good owners and good soccer people, but they're good to us as well. And this was on them. This is them saying, we want to talk to you about the season. This isn't us bringing it up. So get your questions ready. Make them good. And, yes, Tom has already said we're getting a clock for next year. So you can take that off the...
And you're going to be recording?
Yes.
During this?
Yeah. So I'm going to bring all the equipment and set it up and, you know, have the people actually go up to the microphone and ask the questions and do the whole nine yards, so the people that won't be able to attend will be able to listen. We'll put it out as a special issue probably, and it ought to be a good time. So, and knowing them, there's probably going to be some drinking involved. Just saying.
No.
Well, we are already talking about tailgating the event, right? We're going to tailgate the town hall.
You don't want to get rusty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on. This is what we do.
March to the meeting.
All right, drummers, bring the drums. We got to march to the meeting. Other news, holiday party. We do this every year. Well, I shouldn't say every year. This will be the second year we do it, but, you know.
I love that when you see on a sign it says, first annual parade. I mean, like, how can it be an annual if this is the first one?
We'll be second annual.
I think it's second or third, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're going to have our Christmas party. We'll be doing it at ITAP. It'll be on the 19th of December, which is a great weekend to have it because, you know, 6 days later you're trapped by your family. So what better way to prepare for the horribleness of your family than to hang out with your crazy family?
My sister and her family are coming in from England for Christmas.
Oh, Lord.
So first thing my brother-in-law asked me is like, you've got all the channels to watch football, right? I'm like...
You're like, bitch, please.
I'm like... I watch more football than you do, son.
Yeah, sadly, so, you're probably telling the truth.
More available here.
Yeah.
But he's seen my Facebook post about Amsterdam Tavern. I think he's all clued in for Boxing Day. He's in for a time.
Good. That's fantastic.
That's really awesome.
Good.
Because he's not been to the U.S. before, my brother-in-law. So the whole concept of the game's kicking off at 9 o'clock in the morning is going to be alien to him. He's going to be shit-faced by 11 o'clock.
You say that like the rest of us aren't usually doing the same thing.
No, but we do it knowingly. He's never experienced it before.
He's coming in fresh.
You know?
He's going to go back. You won't believe it. We were drunk at 11 o'clock watching soccer. It was fantastic.
No, but you see, the thing is, the first time I ever really did that watching a game over there here was an England game. It was a World Cup qualifier. And I was in the bar getting merry and drinking and stuff. And I came out of the bar. It was still daylight. And it just totally threw me off because after the game there, it's 9 o'clock at night and it's dark and it's cold and you're going home and you fall out of the bar over here and it's daylight and it's warm and it's like totally confused my adult brain. So, yeah.
If it's any consolation, it's kind of the same for us when we leave the bar after watching. It's like, holy shit, we're drunk at 1 o'clock.
I know, right? That's
I mean, just because you're used to it at night, we're no better prepared during the daytime. It's like, I got to go home at 1 o'clock and be drunk all afternoon. I better keep drinking.
I know, right? There's nothing worse than getting home and trying to pretend sober to the wife.
Oh, there's no pretending. She
or to do it at your in-law's house.
Ooh.
That happened. I rode with him from coming back from a World Cup qualifier, and we stopped at his in-laws to pick up Ewan, and I was fairly drunk at that point, and I was doing my best to not like fall over. I was like, hello.
See, the good thing is my in-laws know I'm a functioning alcoholic, so I'm not too terribly worried about that. They just kind of accept it, you know. Oh,
air quotes around the functioning?
No, not at all.
That's family for you right there.
Hands are on the table on that one. There's no air quotes being involved at all.
He's running the podcast, man.
That's right. This is serious business.
Functioning.
It is a functioning air quotes podcast, yes. So that is pretty much all the big news other than MLS news today. Jason Kreese got fired in New York City.
I know, right? Everyone's shocked. Everyone's like, why? Why are they doing that? Only in MLS is being there a year of shit results too soon.
So there's two things to say to this. The first thing is Dale Shilley. Everybody's all worked up about Jason Kreese.
Mm-hmm.
The man won a cup, got to the finals once, made the playoffs 6-7 years running with Salt Lake. That was a damn competitive team.
And a fun team to watch,
too. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean,
they didn't just win. They won pretty.
It always pretty, too. It wasn't like, oh, bad games were still pretty. I loved watching them. He made a great team, and he's gone now.
He left that job as the Western Conference champion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Should have won that
game.
And
shootout.
Yes, he should have. Let's not bring that up again, please. Anyway, so getting fired. I mean, is this the Manchester City bullshit flowing over?
I think so.
I mean,
did you read the press release?
No.
Claudio Reyna didn't even have a quote in the press release.
What?
Yeah, he's supposed to.
Is that even possible?
I don't know how, but that's okay. He's supposed to be running the team, and he wasn't even quoted in the press release for firing Jason Kreese.
Wow.
So who knows what's going on in City?
Wow. From the bowels of Yankee Stadium. That's.
And here's the thing.
What a train wreck.
Yeah, they're probably going to bring in some foreign guy that they seem they trust more, and this guy's not going to have any idea how MLS works.
Absolutely. It's going to you say that about Rainier, but you look back at the whole Beckham thing with Grant Wall. Alexi Lalas had no say in Rudd Hullick being appointed manager of that team, and then Rudd Hullick came in and had no idea, you know, how allocation and expansion drafts work.
We barely understand.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean,
we watch this league every day, every week.
But,
barely,
you know,
understand it works.
Patrick Vieira coming in here to New York, he's just not going to understand the nuances of the league.
They're not going to understand travel.
He's not going
to travel alone. What, our closest rival is, you know, halfway across England distance? I mean, you know, well, I guess Boston's technically closer than that, but. You know, when you're looking at being in the same division as Columbus, which is 5, 6, 7, 8 hours away,
I mean,
they're not ready for that.
I think that's what happened.
To a degree with the Champions League and Europa League travel that goes on nowadays, it's not as much a change in environment. But I think what the Europeans struggle with is the altitude, is the humidity, is the deserts, is, you know.
Dallas in the middle of August.
Yeah, you go from Dallas in the middle of August to Orlando with the humidity to the, you know, to the Pacific Northwest, which is a rainforest, you know.
Colorado and the altitude.
You know, so that,
you could say a lot about MLS, but this is a fit league. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So why are we upset? Why is some people upset about Kreese getting fired? Now, are we being a little hypocritical here? And to a certain extent, we have a club that has some expectations, and they didn't succeed. They didn't achieve them, and they fire somebody.
Did anyone outside of City Football football group really have those expectations reasonably, though? Here's what I think. You
talk
about.
Does it really matter? I mean, we're talking about trying to elevate this league, and we have a club that is not satisfied with what happened.
They didn't even let him have Lampard.
It might be they just had somebody else, and Christ was just a temporary man, but.
No, he wasn't. They brought.
You're right. They left Salt Lake early.
He had an entire year off. Left a successful program. Real Salt Lake had a successful program. They had a successful youth club. He left a good, good job where he was, and in all fairness, he was treated like a king there because he's a former player for Real Salt Lake. He brought them to stability and success. He is exactly what anybody in this league wants. Chicago should be like on the phone right now saying, hey, dude, how do you feel about the Windy City? He is exactly what every team in this league needs.
I'll say about Chicago, Chicago is just rotten to the core, and one manager can't change the what's going on there. I mean, Jason wants him to manage the U.S. I mean, he's available now.
I would love to see that, actually. I mean, not trying to open the Jurgen Klinsmann pop top there, but I think he's a fantastic coach. He's still pretty young. He's like
35, 36,
He got a philosophy. He's going to stick with it. No one else in MLS has that and has had the track record to back it up. I'd love to see him with the U.S. someday. Who knows when or where. But, yeah, any MLS club that would hire him, Chicago, it should be top of the list. They'd be lucky to have him.
See, I don't think if I'm him, I wouldn't want to take the U.S. right now because it's in the rebuilding stage. I mean, after the guys that we have right now, I mean, how bad did the U-17 lose?
Yeah, I mean, the U-23, U-17, like, it's not pretty. Who wants – you know, if Jurgen doesn't have this job, who wants this job?
People aren't lining up for this.
The fact of the matter is, though, Christ would do it for half the amount that Klinsmann's doing it for, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
Less than that.
But again, he's got to be able to have it his way because that's what he had in Real Salt Lake, and it was successful. And this is part of my thing, too, and this is where I completely agree with Klinsmann, even though I know a lot of people don't like him. You have to have a set standard from the bottom on up, that you have to have the academy system working towards the goal for the top team. The U-17, the U-23, they should all be playing, I don't want to say a style, but there should be a format that builds towards the national team. And in reality, that's what a... That's what KC2 or whatever, or Swope Park Rangers. The fuck is that?
Swope Park, Kansas City, Rangers, Wizards.
Yes. Kansas. Is you know, they should
technically be... Go Swope Park Rangers.
But they should be playing a style that leads to those guys to move up to the big club. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way this works. So, you know, is Christ coming in upsetting the apple cart to U.S. at this point in time? I mean, you're going to have to do it his style now. I think that's where you kind of let Klinsmann go another couple of years when you have shit coming up.
I think Christ understands the U.S. system and the U.S. player inherently more, because he obviously came up through the system, played for the national team and all that, more than Klinsmann at least did when he took the job. So I think he can implement all the things Klinsmann's trying to do, but he'd be better equipped to... know how to put that in, and know what he can't do yet. To know the limitations, know what he has to do.
Going back to Christ and having everything that he's had to deal with in New York with bringing Pirlo in and the plays they've had.
The Lampard mess.
But do you not look at these MLS playoffs right now and going, I'm looking at them going, the teams who are actual teams, rather than two stars and a collection of journeymen, the teams are the ones that are succeeding. Mm-hmm. I think you look at Portland, you look at Dallas, you look at even Montreal before they had Drogba. We're getting to the CONCACAF Champions League final. Columbus, they have no stars to a degree. You know, the team ethos is overriding the DP ethos.
And that was his hallmark at RSL. Yes, the team is a star. It's emblazoned on the clubhouse there. And it's the exact opposite there at City. And you mentioned all the foreign MLS coaches coming in not knowing on how the league structure works. I think that's probably what City Football Group did. They bought a team thinking they could basically just steamroll with all the cash. Worst case, they could have their Manchester City B team. And they have no idea the realities of the league. And I think they're suffering the consequences for that.
Yeah, they'd have been better off buying the Cosmos then if they wanted to spend unlimited cash, you know, to a degree. But
then they couldn't play in Yankee Stadium.
Well, neither can the Cosmos.
Yeah.
You know, neither can...
Nobody. It's still... this team is the epitome of a clusterfuck of MLS. I mean, you want to look at everything that's wrong with MLS? New York City FC. Really. They gave them a team, just basically said, oh, you have money? Here's a team. Thank you. Ignoring all the rules and regulations they put in for everybody else.
Yeah, there are no rules, though. At MLS, right. I mean, just depending on how, like, player acquisition. You know, Clint Dempsey walks in the door, I want to play for Seattle. Okay. Jermaine Jones shows up. It's, like I said earlier, Bird, it's a game of three-card Monty on where you're going to end up. He can't even dictate where he signs and how a team shows up. Oh, Beckham, well, you've got to have a stadium. You can't just have a team without a stadium. Oh, New York FC, you just figure it out along the way. You're fine.
Yeah,
the check cleared.
Yeah, and then, well, you've got a DP coming over. Well, technically, he's not yours. He's going to go play for City for a year. You know, everything about NYCFC has been a disaster from the get-go, and they don't care. Because the check's clear. That's the problem.
And this is going to be Garber's legacy, I think, is New York City and the Chivas mess and the expansion. But, you know, it's his funeral. But I will say this about MLS, and I'm very critical of MLS because I think half the league at the beginning doesn't really mean much. But the playoffs have been fun. I mean, competitive football has been the winner go home. We're great fun, and I would much rather see a competitive game of soccer than a friendly with United and PSG any day.
Absolutely. That was actually the topic I wanted to talk about tonight, is how great the playoffs are, mm-hmm. and how I'm going to say a statement now to kind of get us into this topic. And
what a transition. It's like he's listened to a podcast before.
Great segue.
We'll be right back. okay, I'm going to say something. If you gave me a magic wand to restructure U.S. soccer how I saw fit, I could either implement pro rel through the whole pyramid, but then go single table and not have playoffs, or keep it basically the way it is and keep the playoffs and maybe restructure it the way I saw fit, I would keep the playoffs. I would rather have playoffs and no pro rel than pro rel and no playoffs.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
first off, you're wrong. No.
Wrong, but you know what? I wanted St. Louis FC to reach the playoffs more than I wanted my kid to go to Harvard.
here's the thing.
That's the hard part.
You can obviously do both. I think that's what eventually, hopefully, we'll get to, knock on wood. But if the choice is either or, we talk about how MLS needs to implement pro rel to really get that dogfight in there so teams have something to play for. I think the playoffs are that, only they move that dogfight up the table. So instead of the worst teams in the league playing bad soccer to avoid embarrassment, you have your mid-table teams who are better relative to the league fighting to actually achieve something, to make the playoffs and have a chance at a championship. In England, yes, your Sunderland-Bournemouth matches can be entertaining late in the season to see who's going to avoid relegation. But
don't forget about Newcastle and Chelsea right now.
Exactly.
Said by a Chelsea fan.
But your mid-table teams, your Southamptons, West Broms, they have shit all to play for half the season, and they're better teams. And you want to encourage development of the U.S. player in general. You want to develop the better players and have the better players fighting to get better.
The system is all wrong, though. I mean, you've got a pyramid, but the pyramid is upside down. All the money's being invested at the top. You open the pyramid, you get rid of the glass ceilings that these teams have, and you watch the investment in the lower league of American soccer, the development. You take the glass ceiling away from Chattanooga Hooligans, and someone will buy that team and push them up the league. And that's where you will get your player development for the U.S. national team is in all these lower league teams around the country. And I'd have no problem with MLS doing what they're doing, you know, but you don't get, for me, as a closed system as it is, you don't get to hold on to that D1 sanction and just have a closed shop. I understand that in 1995, when the league was set up, you know, you had all these billionaires pumping money in, and it was a loss leader. But there was a certain amount of maturation that you expected to happen, and the training wheels come off and then go compete in a global marketplace. And that's not happened. And just because, you know, the Hunts and the Anschluses and the Crafts of the world put millions of dollars in 20 years ago, that doesn't mean that they get to control soccer in this country in perpetuity. I, you know, at some point the training wheels has to come off, and I think if MLS wants to stay as it is and do its thing, that's fine, but that shouldn't affect what US soccer should do over here and have an open pyramid. MLS can be over here and do its thing, that's fine, but also, I don't know why I'm doing hand movements on a radio show.
For all our viewers at home.
Yeah. But, I mean, MLS can do its thing, but it can't control the top tier of American soccer forever and keep it as a closed shop. And that's my.
But
thoughts.
As long as U.S. soccer is in bed with them, they're going to. That's the ultimate problem.
But what point does FIFA step in?
Most corrupt organization in the world is going to criticize somebody else.
But you know what? FIFA has given waivers to U.S. soccer to not have promotion and relegation, and to not have it, they call it sporting merit, mm-hmm. you know, advancement through sporting merit. They've given waivers to US soccer, and you know what? We've just pissed FIFA off, and they may pull that waiver to tomorrow. And I think MLS knows this. I think MLS is gearing up for that, because they're getting in bed with the USL and trying to control the lower leagues to an extent too. And I think they're going to implement some sort of an open system while controlling the entire thing. And that's where you see with all the MLS 2 teams coming in to USL is they're getting in bed with the lower leagues.
Okay. Isn't one thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to hear this a lot. Isn't one thing that we hear complaining about from England all the time is the fact that the Premier League and the FA don't get along? You can say that MLS and US soccer are too cooperative to the detriment of NASL and USL. But the fact that they actually do cooperate with each other and work towards a more or less common goal, I actually prefer that.
I think the biggest differential over here to England is the fact that the media in England, if the FA or the Premier League mess up, they will be called out. Mm. You know, the media over there is like rabid dogs. They will call you out and say, what are you doing? Whereas over here, it's all about access. It's all about, you know, keeping up with the status quo. Grant Wall has never asked Sunil Gulati why he hasn't appeared in front of Congress yet. You know, he's not, and that to me is just a dereliction of duty. But Grant Wall will not rock the apple cart for fear of his job. And that has to change, you know.
But to be fair, they're not, ESPN just now started asking those questions of the NFL.
You don't see Stephen A. Smith ranting about Sunil Gulati. So.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. But I'm just saying that's the American way. I mean, the NFL is killing its players mm-hmm. with concussions and injuries. And, oh, well, we did a special on it. That's all we're going to do.
Ask Bill Simmons what questioning the NFL gets you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you saw it. I mean, Colorado Rapids fired their beat reporter. They got the Denver Post to fire their beat reporter because he was critical of the front office of the Colorado Rapids.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is less healthy than you know, the league and the U.S. Soccer Federation getting along. That, to me, is the biggest disparity between the Europe and what goes on here.
But again, we have to have the media that is willing to take the risk and the public that cares. I mean, right now, we can barely get St. Louis FC onto our local news.
Well, to be honest, I think I've been actually pleasantly surprised at how much it has.
It has.
I mean,
I
was expecting zero. I was expecting not a column inch in the Post-Dispatch. And I've been really, really happy with the coverage we have had.
We've had better than expected, but it's still not appropriate. I mean, it needs to be more. And the thing is that's where it starts, because once St. Louis starts covering STLFC more, then, you know, Columbus starts covering the Crew more, and then those questions get answered. You know, by the same token, it's the inverted pyramid. If you're not covering those local teams, nobody gives a shit on the national stage. And nobody's going to ask those questions because there's nobody to back him up. Grant Wall's not going to ask that question because nobody's got his back.
I, I would have to disagree with you. What draw does St. Louis FC have in total fans versus
high school football?
No, the semi-pro baseball leagues.
The Rascals and the Rascals. No, and they should be on TV too. I mean, right now Frank Cusimano's wig goes and covers high school football every Friday night for 20 minutes. You can't give a fraction of that time to the Rascals, to the STLFC. No, Frank's got to go and give hand jobs to Smet for an hour. I mean, it's got to be different, you know. And that's where it starts. That's it. I mean, yeah, I don't like Frank, in case you haven't figured it out.
Is it a Smet alum? I have never gotten a hand job from Frank Cusimano.
Oh, you didn't play basketball.
That's true. No, I won 2 state championships at the Smet, so there you go.
Aww.
Yeah, he could talk about Stepanovich and all that stuff. Yeah.
But going back to Jason's point, the playoffs have been awesome.
They have been.
And competitive football and football that matters is what we want. That's what we want to see.
One thing I would do, if I have this magic wand and could restructure the playoffs, I may have mentioned this on the Facebook group before. Be sure to tell me if you think it's just a shitty idea. But what I would do for MLS playoffs is I would... there's too many teams right now. Let's just get that out of the way right now.
Yeah, when more than half the league makes the playoffs.
Right, yeah.
That's a problem.
I think the top 9 in USL should make the playoffs. I'll just...
I agree. I think the MLS 2 team shouldn't be allowed in the playoffs, actually. But I would make it so 3 teams in the playoffs in each conference make it. The top team gets their CCL berth and a bye into the conference final. And then you have the 2 or 3 teams play for just a one leg, one off.
I agree with you, only because I don't know what you just said.
No, I agree. Absolutely right.
That way, A, you're making the, putting a premium on their spots. Only 3 out of 10 teams make it. B, you're really put a premium on where you stand in those top 3. So the 3rd team has to go play at number 2. So that number 2 team gets the advantage of hosting a one-off game, whereas if you finish number 1, you go right to the semifinals. So they're each rank, there's an event. If you're stuck in 3rd place at the end of the year, there's an advantage of going for number 2.
So who makes the CONCACAF Champions League right now? Isn't it the conference champions? No.
It is the top, the 4 slots in the U.S., the top regular season finishers in each conference, the MLS Cup winner, and the U.S. Open Cup winner.
Okay, so the top finishers in each conference in the regular season. Wouldn't that be technically your regular season conference champions?
Yes.
Okay. Just trying to get that out there. So it's not based on a playoff.
No. No, because that's the cup. That's the cup.
Yeah. Which, so that's what we want. But it was the opposite at one point, not too long ago, and they
actually
changed that.
Another thing to bitch about as an RSL fan, the year we got gypped out of the MLS Cup final, they also subsequently, like a month later, changed how they did the CONCACAF Champions League. Mm-hmm. So even though RSL qualified under the old rules,
they warned them before that season started that this was going to happen.
They warned them as a possibility.
Possibility based on CONCACAF.
It was a possibility,
that,
though.
But they had put that in writing before the year before.
Right.
But it took that long to change.
It would have been better if they had done that subsequently for, like, the next qualification. Right, so other than just changing it subsequently. Right. Like, oh, by the way, here.
By the way, what we talked about? Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah, congratulations, Portland, who couldn't beat RSL 3 times that year.
This is awesome.
God,
this
RSL sucked this year. God, yeah.
This is the first time I've had somebody that's a fan of one of my teams on.
If you believe that, just stand up.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Hey, Portland Timbers.
I still don't understand how anybody in St. Louis can be a Portland Timbers
fan. I'm there.
Because,
I am there.
Because Mark and I can attest to this. We watched them play AC St. Louis. They were a rival. Mike Ambersley went up there and made the sawing motion when he scored that goal.
That was so awesome, because if you had the Fox Sports package on TV, you could watch the game on TV.
Yeah.
And Ambersley scoring that last second goal, and then him jumping over the boards.
The crowd is deflated, and he jumps over.
Doing the sawing motion back and forth right in front of the Timbers army. It was so awesome. That was one of my best. Sorry, guys.
It was it was unbelievable.
It was the moment that we have a team. That's what it was. It was just like, we have a team. And it was just, it was so cool. I'd never forget it. And it's it really hard to find that on YouTube,
there's
by the
YouTube
way.
There's a YouTube clip of just him doing the sawing motion, but not the goal, I think.
Correct.
But so that'd be the best example I can give is that anybody
And I'm a
that
Portland was, Timbers fan, sorry.
Anybody that was an AC St. Louis fan being a Timbers fan today, it'd be like us being a Louisville fan in 2 years or 4 years. Now, do you understand the disgust?
What I heard you say is
I think people look, he's
a Chelsea fan. We already know he's a bandwagoner, so.
I think people look at Poland or Cascadia in general and look at what they do up there and go, I like that. I want to be part of that.
Understandable.
But it's nothing to do with you. It's 2,000 miles away.
Yeah, but say, yeah, you're not in the Timbers Army in your living room holding your scarf up in the air. It's just not the same. No,
That's just about every football fan in America. I mean,
but the thing is, what they do there,
we latch onto these teams because we don't have any.
But
here.
We do have a team it's now.
Yes, we do have a team now. But
that's my.
But
thing.
So many times we don't. You know, as Americans. You know, you asked me about who signed my USA jersey over there. You know, Alexi Lalas. Where did he sign? He signed it in Portland. I saw him in the streets in Portland after I watched the USA play there. But that's the only way I got to watch a game live was to follow the U.S. national team in World Cup qualifiers. That was it. I had nothing else. Nothing.
No argument.
I mean, I couldn't even watch a game on TV hardly unless I had a pay-per-view on the FA Cup.
The evolution in 5 years of soccer in America is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like no other growth. I can't think of anything else that's grown this fast, honestly.
10 years from now, NFL won't exist.
Not in the form that we know it.
No question.
There is no question in my mind that the NFL will not exist in the form that you know it today. Because the thing is that what you're going to see is you're going to see in 10 years that all these guys that are having concussions today will be retired. And these are the guys that are going to have known about somebody playing today. We're watching a game's on right now, Indianapolis, Carolina. One of these guys is going to have CTE so bad in 10 years that he's going to kill somebody or himself. And the lawsuits are going to be ridiculous because CTE is a known entity today.
It's not even going to get that far. Tell me how many high school football players have died playing football on the field this calendar year.
It's like 13 or something like that.
It's eight.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ridiculous number.
Eight kids.
Yeah, and you don't have that in any other sport. Hockey doesn't have that many, and hockey is much more dangerous because they got fucking razor blades on their feet.
Here's a more fun projection. So what does soccer look like in the U.S. in 10 years?
Awesome.
Because we're still waiting
on LAFC.
Yeah.
Are you assuming that Miami is coming into the league?
Well, it's kind of fun the way I look at it is you know, like we're never going to be in situations where there's going to be other upstart football leagues or upstart basketball leagues like, you know, the AFL and the USFL and the ABA were. But we're kind of seeing that here in soccer. We're getting to kind of watch, you know, MLS is this, you know, this entity, this kind of fairly self-righteous entity. And we're seeing just this unprecedented growth out of USL and NASL. And no, what
the NASL was founded as an upstart league. That was the whole point. You know, I think
if you're a fan of pro rel, you have to root for some of those teams in the NASL to do well. You don't have to like the league. You have to, you know, you just want those teams to do well.
See, I think the Cosmos throw that whole argument off.
They are the monkey in the room. Yeah.
Yeah, because the Cosmos will piss on everybody, just for their own good. And that does nobody.
And if they'd be willing to play ball even a little bit, they'd be just rolling in it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got everything going. They've got a great shirt sponsor. They've got the name. What's his face just left them.
But they still got Marcus Senna.
Raul.
They still got Marcus Senna. He's no slouch.
Yeah, but they still have a lot of good. I mean, if they wanted to play ball just the smallest fraction, it'd be a different story. But they don't. They want to be them.
Within 10 years, I firmly believe that NASL will have to either merge with MLS or with USL. Or maybe by that time, there'll be some sort of weird...
I think you're going to get a couple of teams that'll leave NASL to come back to USL, and the chips will fall. It'll be a big domino effect. And because the Cosmos won't play ball, they're going to be left as a team without a league.
I think if they face that reality, they're going to have to join up then.
But the thing is, they're only going to want to join MLS, And there's already two New York teams.
I think there's room for three, I think.
I don't know if there is room for three. I honestly don't. I mean, the Metro Stars.
How big's the check? I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, if the Red Bulls would just admit that they're New Jersey and not New York, that would help.
Yeah, that would be the first start. But, you know, it's going to come down to writing that check, yes. But if they're smart, they'll do something, you know, let's say like the Brooklyn Nets, where they said, no, we're not New York, we're Brooklyn. You know, we're going the different. If they go to a quote-unquote borough and be that team of the borough, then they could probably have the New York Cosmos. But beyond that, I don't know. It's a tough, tough sell. Can you sell three soccer teams there?
It'd be tough. It'd be tough.
Can you sell one?
But you know what?
They've had problems selling one.
The Cosmos, if they're not writing a $100 million check 2 years ago, they're not going to do it in 2 years' time.
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and they've spent a lot of that money on Raul, on Hofstra Stadium, and you know that. I think they are going to be in trouble in a couple of years. But I think on the flip side of that coin, you look at the likes of Tulsa, us, Oklahoma City, Austin, San Antonio. These, they're not MLS markets. They're just below the MLS market in Louisville and Indianapolis.
Arizona.
Mm-hmm. That market, that those teams, unbridled explosion of popularity.
As it should be. I mean,
because they've been ignored for so long, really. You know, I mean, it was all MLS for the last 20 years, basically. And then these teams, the secondary market teams, that's the new growth. That's the growth of the sport.
Well, because I think now a lot of people know MLS isn't coming. I think a lot of these secondary markets in these smaller cities were, you know, baited
will
along.
Someone sell that Fennel? Will someone sell that Tool?
I was going to say, obviously you don't use Twitter. That's what I just learned.
Oh, I know. Very familiar with our friends in Charlotte as well.
Yes, because every city has a MLS 2, STL, CLT, whatever.
But I think there's enough places that it's not coming. So they're gonna start courting USL. They're going to start courting NASL. And we're going to start to see them really take off in those markets.
I think what's going to take, though, for real growth in the USL is just a sports societal growth. I'm not sure exactly what I'm, how to phrase that, but just the idea that the reason so many people are focusing on MLS and one MLS is because we've been conditioned in America with our sports to think that here's that league and everything else other than that, all your River City Rascals, your Gateway Grizzlies, exactly, is just a sideshow. Not even legitimate, let alone a real legitimate option.
But the difference is it's not the best in the world. It's like when you look at the River City Rascals, is, you know, a Major League Baseball team, that's the best baseball team in the world. MLS is far from the best product in the world. And I think more and more people that are finally watching soccer are realizing that maybe it's not worth it. Maybe it's just it's fine enough to have a USL team or an NASL team, and part of we're seeing some of this
growth.
But
even in Europe, there's reason that stands in Europe. I mean, there's reasons people go watch the other Munich team that don't go watch Bayern because they're okay with it. They're emotionally invested in this other team. Or people go watch Levante instead of Valencia or Getafe instead of Real Madrid. Just because it's not the best team in the world, it is irrelevant at this point. And people are catching on to the fact that it doesn't matter. You know, if you're emotionally invested, you're emotionally invested, and that's your team still. And for 99% of soccer fans in the world, they don't support Real Madrid. They don't support Manchester United. They don't support Bayern Munich. They support a second division team in Chile because that's where that's their team.
They support their local club, and I think what we're seeing now is more and more local clubs. We're starting with you know, the growth in USL and NASL. People are going to start to latch on to those. You know, I was a big, you know, Manchester City fan, but then once I had my own team, I had something that I could latch onto, something that was personal, that I was going to the games, I was a part of it. That means much more to me than seeing, you know, the top stars in the world.
But you can do both, though. I mean, it's totally you can, and people do that all over the world. I mean, people are a Crewe Alexandra fan, and I follow Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I support Livingston in Scotland, but I also look at Celtic. You know, and that happens the world over too. I mean, even here, you. I mean, you're a prime example. You can support St. Louis FC and the Kansas City Wizards, or supporting KC. Or, you know,
if you want.
No, you can't.
But that brings me to the next point, too, is that in 10 years, we'll use the 10-year model. Mm-hmm. My son's 10 years old right now. He'll be 20 in 10 years. And he's growing.
Holding mid for the national team?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Not at all. He might be the water boy for the national team, if I'm lucky. But no. But the point is that he's going to grow up in a time where he can watch England. He can watch England first division and second division on TV. He can watch USL. He can watch MLS. He's seeing all these things. Suddenly, it all makes a little bit more sense. He's getting exposed to something that we never had the opportunity. My exposure for the longest time was FIFA on the Sega.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you just couldn't find anything. There was no internet. There was no... You either got a magazine from a specialty bookstore, or you had FIFA. That was it. Now, my son's got an iPhone, and he can pull up every standing, every stat. He can, you know, find anything. They're exposed to a whole lot more than we ever were. So yeah, suddenly MLS means even less because, oh, shit, STLFC just got this guy, Brandon Barklage. He played for San Jose. He did this.
Brandon Barklage's birthday today, by the way.
Happy birthday, Barks.
I picked him. Yep. On the back of your jersey.
Yeah, I just got it finally in.
Yay. But that's the thing is that suddenly that guy, you know, Brandon Barklage, my son can be more invested at the age of 20 than we ever got a chance to. I mean, this is huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and now look at how many clubs there are in town. There used to be only 5 or 6 when we were kids. You know, there was Levy and White Star and Bush and Coca-Cola and those kind of things. Now there's new ones jumping up every day. Granted, SLSG buys them 2 years later, but
some of these clubs have 3, 4, 5 teams in the same age bracket.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a completely different thing. They're not playing baseball
anymore. If you didn't make that team, you just weren't part of it.
Yeah, CYC, and that was it.
That was it.
You know, and now, you know, they're not playing baseball the way they used to. You know, hockey's way expensive. Parents aren't I've got a kid on my soccer team. This kid would be the best defensive back God created. His mom will not let him play football. Refuses to allow him to get hurt playing football. He's playing soccer. He's a good soccer player.
And a difference, too, is we're starting to see the explosion of all these leagues across the country. Is kids have players to look up, more players to look up to. It's like I had EPL game on, and my 3-year-old wanted to know which one was Parker. And that was a really kind of a cool thing that, like, to him, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but to me, it's the same thing.
But it's more tangible. He can see Parker. He's never going to see Yaya Toure.
Well, in maybe 4 years when he comes and retires to MLS.
When I was 14 years of age, I saw Brian Robson, the England captain, walking down the high street of my town, right? And I got tongue-tied and all starstruck. You know, when I saw Sam Fink and Nick Bibbs at a tailgate once, I still got the same.
Yeah.
You know, because they're still my guys. You know, even though I'm a 40-year-old man that should know better, they're still my guys, and, you know, I still feel that's my team.
That's the ideology of it, and that's the thing that's exactly it. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, we should have this ideology about it. We should put them on a pedestal. We should expect the most out of them. You know, it's why we get upset when we hear they're at the club on a Friday night before a game. It's why, you know, we want to see these guys do the best, because it is ours, because it's that, you know, value that we have that we never had before. It could not be a better time to be alive as a soccer fan in the United States.
In 10 years' time, have we got a Riverfront Stadium or no? Because that was my next question. In 10 years' time, is Dave Peacock still going around the country with the briefcase with drawings in it?
Mark, we'll start with you. Goodbye,
yes,
Mark.
Yes, yes, yes. I say yes because...
A Riverfront Stadium designed for...
Oh, it would be designed for American football first with the whole idea of soccer second.
And dual use.
So we're going to have to deal with just, you know, what Seattle has and just a crappy field. And, you know, listen... you know, Slay is still mayor of the city, and he's going to figure out a way to make this thing work. We're going to build some shithole right there in the. I don't know. You're talking to a guy who was a season ticket holder of the Rams since he was 19 years old, And I finally gave them up 3 years ago because you could see where this thing was going. I don't want the city to build the stadium. They have too many other problems. But do we have it? Yeah, I think they're going to figure it
but
out.
I think we're going to get it. Personally, I do think a world-class city, and I think St. Louis is a great city. Don't get me wrong. I love living here. I think a world-class city should have a good multi-use stadium. I think that's what we should have. But I think the way it's being done right now and pushed through leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, billionaires don't need my money.
Well, so your thoughts, Marcus? You're next on the list. Do we have the stadium?
Do we have a stadium?
In 10 years.
Unfortunately, yes, because people in general are stupid.
Fair enough.
But to count on Mark's point, I mean, losing a team that you've supported for the best part of 20 years, that has to, that the prospect has to suck, man.
The
football Cardinals were.
I was 7 when the Rams came here, so I've grown up with the Rams. I was in 5th grade when they won the Super Bowl. That was still the best moment of my life.
We got to are
you the youngest here right now?
Figured
out?
Yeah. I'll be 27 in a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah. How old are you?
32.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Answers it.
So how many people could be your daddy at this table?
Not me. Just you. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Pops. House, do we have a team? Or a stadium?
Yeah, I think it's there. But I think it gets downgraded, and I think it's shitty, and I think it's like the dome. It's a dome without a roof. It's going to be a piece of shit.
If it's downgraded in soccer only, then great. Yeah, that's you know.
Thing ever. Oh, yeah, I'd take that. But I think there's an NFL team here, and it's another shitty stadium.
Jason?
I'm going to say yes. I'm only 51% sure.
The needles quivering there?
Yeah, I just... Luckily, I'm an Illinois guy, so I don't have to worry about paying for it myself. But
isn't that just the...
Do you work in Missouri?
I do not. No. I did for a while. But
I was going to say, so basically we're beating his ass and taking his wallet when getting our share back out of Jason.
Oh, you want my debt? Go ahead.
I got plenty of my own, thank you. All right, so we have a stadium. Whether or not we have a pro team playing in it is another question.
But if we build that stadium... We will never get an MLS stadium. We will never get a soccer-specific.
True.
And,
exactly.
And for people to sit here and say, you know, this is our best chance to get an MLS, I think we're doing it kind of arse about face.
It's incredibly naive to think that that's going to happen. The only way that you're going to get an MLS team is if you have an NFL team playing there and that owner wants to foot the bill for a second team.
Correct. And
because that's the only person that's going to be willing to split time with somebody else is somebody splitting time with himself.
You know, an MLS team playing in a secondary as a secondary tenant, not getting money for concessions, not getting the parking money and all that is not, you're not going to compete. But you know, you're not going to compete with Sporting KC and the Columbuses who've got their own gig. And if you want MLS in this city, come and watch St. Louis FC. Let's pack that out. And let's get our. If you want MLS, you've got to want your own thing. You've got to want your own stadium, your own place. I don't want to be secondary tenant to a team that plays 8 games a year.
Here's a random thought just popped in my head. Feel free to tell me it's terrible.
I'm sensing a theme when every time Jason talks.
So far, so
good. I assume every idea I have is terrible until I'm told otherwise. So. Let's say we get that stadium and the Rams or some other NFL team is playing in it. What are the chances that an MLS team or maybe even FC plays at the Dome? As terrible as that was.
Slim to none. Yeah. Because the Dome, they've already said several times over, the Dome's going to go strictly to conventions all the time because they make so much money off the conventions right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's, in fact, they actually, I forget what the numbers were, but essentially the convention center said the best thing that could happen to us is that the Rams leave because so many dates open up for us. That we could have so many more conventions.
And the Rams basically play for rent-free that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll configure that thing in a heartbeat, and you'll have an NCAA round in St. Louis every year. You'll have the wrestling championships there every year. You'll have so much business come in every year to that convention center. because they'll reconfigure it specifically for those.
And the thing is, too, you have to remember the Rams, when the Rams have that game on Sunday, they don't just lose Sunday. They're losing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
They lose basically the whole season because they have to lay that damn field down. And they can't bring it back up. So once they went to field turf, it really just wiped out that whole 4 months of, you know, that 16-week season.
Yeah, but I think a big thing, though, about, you know, if we'd have a team playing in whatever this outdoor stadium would be is, you know, who else owns it and who else owns the team. I think I'm really interested to see what happens in Atlanta because they're building that stadium in mind with conversions for soccer because the same owner of the Falcons is the same owner that owns this team.
And that's the way you're going to have to do it.
If somebody different owns whatever the football team is here that owns that MLS team, how is the soccer team really going to be an afterthought for that
stadium? The problem with cross-ownership is, though, is you've just discussed the fact that NFL may be on the decline. Well, you know what? The Hunts, the Crafts, they have a vested interest in NFL. So they have not. They don't want MLS to get any more popular than their main sport.
Mm.
You know, I'm against cross ownership for that reason.
Why wouldn't they want it to get popular? I mean, just think of the amount of money they
make. They get so much money from the NFL.
They really think the NFL is going to start dropping? I mean, TV is driving this thing, and the only way people watch live TV and they could sell advertising is sports. That's the only thing that's doing it. And it's not like the ratings are going up any higher in most of these sports, but the TV revenues keep going up. It's because they could sell this advertising. It's live. You want to watch it live.
It's because they have to sell the advertising because less people are watching it.
I didn't say my conspiracy theory made any sense.
It's because the rest of the television is becoming worthless because everyone's recording everything and skipping through everything unless you get just product placement.
The thing is that's why you see the NFL – the NBA, all these places get these ridiculous television deals because of exactly that, because that's the only way that the stations can sell advertising. It's huge.
This is the last year that anybody will have those large multi-year deals.
Yeah.
Any sport.
Yeah. Well,
most of them are locked up for
a while
anyway.
Honestly incredibly surprised last year the NBA signed the one they did because I was fully expecting the NBA to be the first one to start really utilizing online.
Yeah, they've always been kind of pioneers in online media and
that. So I was expecting them to be the first ones to pull the trigger. And for them to get that stupid deal and for the Silnes brothers to finally sell out was still one of the saddest moments.
I know.
Read Loose Balls, the story about the ABA. If you know what?
In perpetuity,
my favorite two words in that entire book.
For the rest of your life.
So, but read that book, and the best thing is
the 30 for 30 documentary, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You read that book, and then start recognizing how it ties in, that some of these teams are the Cosmos, that some of these teams are the San Antonio NASL team. And you start to realize that the NASL and ABA are very close in behavior. There's only one way it ends. There is really only one way it's going to end for them. And once you get done reading that book and enjoy little Bobby Costas' stories about the St. Louis Spirits too, but you start to realize what that sports landscape looks like and how upstart leagues, the best thing that can happen to them is that they get absorbed. The NASL, the best thing that's going to happen to them is that they get absorbed by two leagues. And then we're back to our original conversation about the pyramid being upside down.
But going back to Marcus's point about this is the last time you're going to see multi-year mega things is because when ESPN pays for NFL, let's say they pay $1 billion. Well,
way more than that.
Well, but just say, you know, $1 billion. Then NBA comes around and says, well, we're the second most popular sport, so we're going to put our fee up by 20%. And then, you know, the hockey comes along and says, well, we're third, so we're going to put ours up by 15%.
Hockey wishes.
You know, but I mean, you know, if the NFL price goes up 20%, then there's a knock-on effect for every single sport below that. And ESPN's going bankrupt because of that. I mean, they've just laid off 1,500 people in Bristol because they're shelling out so much more now.
And they shut down Grantland, too.
Yeah, which is a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, right, and that all that comes back around to is the media, right? So when you're looking at any of the media providers that are out there, right, they have to charge, you know, they bundle all that crap together. So as soon as you go to over-the-top, right, or OTA type of programming to where you entire thing is going to crumble. And this is going to be one of those swell changes that happens just like gay rights, right? So nobody wanted anything to do with that for years and years and years and years and years, right? And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, it's the only thing everybody wants,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is going to be the exact speed that this type of thing happens when you're talking about the NFL and you're talking about all these other sporting events out there that are just going to go away. And people need to be able to be prepared for that because of the sea change that happens and how fast it happens today.
And let's be honest, the one great thing that we've got with the USL is the fact that we can watch every single game online.
You know, for free.
For free. And that's one
today.
Thing.
Today. But that's the other problem now, too, is that YouTube is doing the YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious to see how that changes things with the USL deal.
I doubt it. I don't think USL is popular enough in the general landscape to affect with YouTube Red too much. But it's an interesting point, though.
But if NASL get a cable deal next year, USL may go to ESPN3. You know, if NASL move up, then USL come up, and you know, we may go to ESPN3. And I think you're right to a degree with USL isn't popular enough that people are going to pay for it. But if you get enough people watching it week in, week out, and getting them invested in their team, you know, who knows?
How many teams are there compared, you know, in the USL compared to the NASL? You could talk about the NASL trying to sell something.
But now you're getting into the twos, though. That's the other
problem.
Okay,
so you're getting into the twos, and it's just as important to try to get all these independent teams here in this league. And that's – I'm a little disappointed with some of the announcements that have been made with the USL. It's been the two teams. You can, you know, put it however you want, Swope Park Rangers, whatever they are. They're a two team, and that's mm-hmm. a fact. I love the fact that we're independent. Love it.
I love the fact that we can have both in this league. Both things can exist because that's what's helping us. If you were starting a new soccer team, what league do you want to be a part of? One that's got 30 teams or one that's got 11 teams? It would be the one with the 30 teams. Doesn't matter that MLS owns them.
You know, they're going to sell TV rights. Well, mm-hmm. we're talking about how many teams in the NASL and how many are Canadian? We got Ottawa and Edmonton, and there's not that many. So what are they really talking about? The USL is going to be more attractive. And that's their goal.
What I think's helped us with regards to the MLS 2 teams is that, let's say you're going to a game, you're going to watch St. Louis FC, and you see that they're playing New York Red Bull 2. If you're not a soccer fan, you know, you're not as savvy as us, and you don't know what's going on. But you look at that and go, Red Bull, I recognize the name, you know, or you know, you don't recognize
Galaxy.
Who are Ottawa Fury? Who what? Mm. You know, whereas we know them, but the casual, let's go to a soccer game tonight, kids, kind of guy, looks at the names of the teams we're playing and goes, I've heard of them. This must be legit. It does add a little bit of credibility to the league.
Well, and it's got to help so much more with operating costs, too, is when you look at, so, you know, look at last year, Rochester was having to go out on the West Coast. We had enough two teams we can split into conferences, and now two trips that Rochester would have had to take to Orange County Blues or Sacramento is now replaced with, you know, Montreal Impact and like Red Bull 2. That's got to be so much more cost effective for them and travel.
And one of the things that came up when the whole idea of us going to the Western Conference came up was that suddenly now, you know, the game's over at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock on the West Coast. Technically, you can still catch that red eye and get home.
Mm-hmm.
Where when it's over, you know, on the East Coast, you're not getting that red eye because it's not, it's just not there.
And so that's why I think we look really attractive, would look really attractive to NASL teams. I mean, there's teams going to be in Puerto Rico. They're going to have to fly to Ottawa. They're going to have to fly to Edmonton. You know, but if you're joining a bigger league like this, even if it's propped up by these twos, that still is a much more cost-effective thing. And if you're saving, you know, 10 grand here, 10 grand there on some of these road trips, 10 grand buys you quite a bit more striker in USL and NASL than it's going to at
like,
MLS levels.
If you're San Antonio and you're seeing Austin, you're seeing us, Kansas City, Oklahoma, Tulsa.
If you're Indy and you mm-hmm. see Cincinnati, Louisville, St. Louis, Kansas City, Tulsa, that's... that's got to be so much more attractive to Peter Will and in the Indian 11
mm-hmm. than going to Ottawa.
Yeah, and
God, I'd love to have Indy in our league.
Oh my God,
who
wouldn't
you?
Wouldn't you?
I mean, they're a class organization. They're fantastic. It's, you know,
and we can beat them.
Well, let's not count our chickens before they're hatched.
But I was kind of looking today at some of the attendance numbers and kind of looking, how would these revenues be comparable? I mean, if Louisville was in NASL, they would have been fourth in average attendance this year. We would have been right behind New York Cosmos. These leagues are comparable. There would not be a huge swing to start moving some of these NASL teams.
What was the record in the Open Cup? are they really that comparable? I mean,
to be fair, they had strikers that could find the back of the net. So,
I mean, they are.
I tried to get my.
They are D2 in name only. I mean, there's right. nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's nothing of substance.
Well, how fun was that though?
If the Cosmos went around today, there'd be almost no question that they'd be the third team league in America.
Yeah. So I tried to get my son for his Halloween joke to say what scares a STLFC striker the most. I said the back of the net. He wouldn't do it. I was disappointed.
Too soon.
We're gonna have a breakout year. We're gonna have a breakout year next year. I feel it in my bones.
Come on, that was a funny joke.
Yeah, I feel it because you know what, the leading scorers of the team, the league this year, did nothing the year before. There was nothing to say that they were going to have the years that they had. Like Danny Koenig did nothing last year, Fondi did nothing at the Fire. You know, and then they just boom breakout years, and that's going to be us next year. I feel it.
Jeremy, the gauntlet has been dropped. Matt Bird has challenged your GM abilities. I think.
Well, I think it's a bad litmus test when I compare us to Louisville, starting right off the bat, two expansion teams. But we come to find out later that a lot of those players have been playing together for a lot longer than we thought they had been, and they're much more
Louisville
gelled.
Wasn't an expansion team; they were Orlando
they
City,
were, mm-hmm. were.
And before that, the Austin Aztecs.
You know, and it wasn't just the coach that came up to Louisville. I mean, all their scouting reports, every piece of metadata they had on every player in this league.
You could tell.
I mean, the difference was there. They were a much, much better, more organized, more threatening team.
We should have gotten the Cardinals to hack into their database. It's funny.
So what does that say about STLFC? Is it that management?
No, we would.
That just says that
they didn't
but
win the league. The year
most people would have been unprepared. This is the kind of comparing us to Louisville. They were kind of a special example that next year, now with another year under our belt, what can we do?
You had a season where this incredible expansion. You had all these two teams coming in, and I think you just didn't know how it was going to fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, too, you don't know what the other teams are creating. And that was always the hardest part that I was worried about going
Nobody
in.
Nobody knew this
No,
year.
It does. It completely makes a difference. Because if you're planning on a physical team or a physical league, for example, we went with smaller guys looking for more control.
More skill.
But USL is a very physical league.
Some bruisers.
I mean, it is probably one of the most physical soccer leagues I've watched.
I would concur because that yellow team does suck.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, when you watch – so if you're looking for skills – and you need to have some guys that can crash the net and throw bones. That having that database in front of you, that's a world of difference. I mean, you never want to use it as an excuse.
But I think that just shows that we found the places to grow.
Comparing us to Louisville isn't fair for reasons stated that they were Orlando. But, we should be comparing ourselves to Charlotte and to Tulsa. But you know what? The team that had the best year from an expansion point of view is Colorado Springs. I mean, they were the team that we want to emulate
because they were garbage at the beginning of the year. That was a rough team, but they figured it out. They got their feet underneath them and they figured out how to play in this league, and that made a huge difference.
And because it was Trishu that managed them, we'll claim it. that was my second team all year.
And it was in the West, so you didn't have to worry about it. That's
I know, but
Trichu played at Soccer Park and made a two-handed save on the goal line to beat Costa Rica in a World Cup qualifier for the 90 World Cup.
I mean, he went to SIUE, right?
And he didn't even get a card for that, and he wasn't the goalkeeper. As referees, we were trained about that, and they showed that replay of that game all the time. And they said, and guess what? Not only did he not get kicked out, get a red. He didn't even get a yellow. He didn't get a caution.
But you know what? Back
sorry to change the subject.
Back in the '80s, though, I mean, cautions were rare. You know, they
did everything you could to keep that ball from going across the line, and it was just more accepted.
Caution was try not to bleed. That was pretty much the caution that games in the '80s were played under.
No blood, no
cup. He's my hero. That's yeah. I became a fan of that game. So
He knows how to manage a team. I mean, what he did out of Colorado Springs this year was nothing short of miraculous.
Kudos.
Yeah. And you know, they've got that Luke Velacone, who's a midfielder. He's 33. He scored 14 goals this year in this league. I mean, the players are out there. The players are out there.
Well, absolutely. And again, now the time is that, you know, this is – I actually think it's probably going to be harder for Jeremy this year to put together a team than it was last year, because knowing what you need and knowing what the other teams have, the difference between winning and losing is so small now that – that one player, you know, if he shows up, if he doesn't show up, if he is what you know what I mean, that everything is by a hair at times.
I still maintain, though, that we're a destination team in this league, that players are going to want to come and play.
That's where we come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the fact, you know, the X factor is
it's us.
It's us. Yeah.
It is. It absolutely is. You watch all these videos that they've been putting out for the end of season, you know, on YouTube, STLFC on their channel, end of season. 75% of it's us. I mean, you know, if they're showing anything that's not on field, it's pretty much it's Jason dancing.
Well, there's
it's
us
the back of his head on almost all of them.
There's us, and when
my
you talk
bald head,
and when you talk to the players, they just talk about what a difference it is in just getting, you know, getting fed every day, which sounds crazy to us, but it's like just getting fed, the training facilities, just it's treated very professionally, and they just don't see that in other teams in the league. I think that makes a huge difference to them.
Yeah, the word's going to get out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they know. And
well, the players have seen them that have played here, right? And they understand that, but they're all locked into two-year deals.
No. There's a lot of one-year deals. A lot of one-year deals.
There'll be guys that don't come back, which is okay. I'm okay with that because it means that there's room for new guys to come in and make a difference. I think to a degree, Mitch was right with what he said with regards to Jeremy's not got as many excuses this year. You know, he's had a year under his belt. You know, he's got to go and, you know, make things work this year. But, I mean, as I say, I think there'll be players knocking on his door going, can I play here? You know,
right,
and
what is his financial restrictions as well, right? So that I think that's more relevant than anything else.
I think I would like to think, and I don't know, but I would like to think that the purse strings are going to be loosened a little because they didn't bank on 5,500 there every week. You know, I think they were only budgeting for 2,500 people.
And games. They said the concessions and like merchandise sales were more than they were expecting as well. So
just
more
think
money
of how much
too.
Of merchandise sales would have been if you could get it.
Saw that coming.
Or they looked good.
I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it.
Well, that's the thing too. That's an excellent point. Is you know, look at how good and how successful this team was off the field. Oh, we didn't play that well. I mean, is our record was tanking. Attendance kept going up. Think about what this would be like if we had a winner. And I think it also is good too, is kind of almost, you know, character building for the team, and that, you know, it's, or the fans, is that if we get good and have other problems, then we're not going to see things taper off. If Louisville has a rough season next year, I would be interested to see what their attendance numbers are going
to
be like.
I would love to see it, by the way.
I think we all would. But that's the other part too, is that, you know, if you're a new guy coming into this team, you don't think that a Ambersley or a Fink are going to grab you and say, hey, mm-hmm. These guys in the corner, they're gonna let you know if you're not, you know, you've got to play for them. I mean, those guys are gonna say this is that environment. You don't get to screw around.
But you know, that also goes back to my my point that the players that brought it this year did nothing the year before. There is no, you know, bell curve of performances. I think that Brian and Jeremy, they know what this league's about now. And there is no excuse this year for Brian, Jeremy, you know, Barclay has to get fit. You know, they now know what this league's about. And it's not just Jeremy that's not got the excuse. You know, these players have to bring it now. This is not a surprise. This league is physical. This league is tough. This league is competitive. There's not that much difference. You take away the DPs out of MLS, there's not that much difference between the base level of USL and the base level of MLS.
I absolutely agree with you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's no free passes, right?
No.
If you're going to be out there slacking and not giving it your 110% effort every time, then
And yeah, and I don't think last year that there was many players that didn't bring 100%. I looked at the Montreal game when we got beat at Montreal, and that made me cringe because I was questioning whether the players were playing for Dale. But the next game, they played, gave 100%, and we won at Toronto. So I have to believe that they gave 100% every single game.
All this is also in Till the Bitter End, found on Amazon.com by Matt Bird.
Yeah, that was on page 56.
You have to annotate your podcast.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's all about. See, I keep saying,
you listen to this. I'm charging you $7, man.
You're getting it for free right here, thanks to your electric 314.
314-814-3897. Thank you.
I keep saying one of these days I'm going to set up the Amazon link.
YourElectricSTL.com.
But I also think you know we're kind of picking on Brian here, but Brian came from the Galaxy. You know, I think we expected a bit more from him because of the Galaxy, and that maybe does him a little disservice. Let's say he came to us from Columbus or Houston. Would we have expected as much from him? And I don't think so.
I disagree. I'll disagree completely. If you're coming from the MLS, because we expected the same thing out of Barkley, because he was coming from San Jose. We expected him to be a contributor, and he was a contributor until he got hurt.
I feel
several
like,
times.
Yeah, but you can't put that on Brian. And then give Oscar a free pass after, you know, all
Oscar didn't play in the MLS.
No, but he was in the yellow Dortmund shirt that they plastered everywhere on the website. So, I mean, they made a lot of that.
Well,
the Brian comment wasn't about Brian. The Brian comment was about management. Right? If you're going to bring that player back, you need to make sure that he's motivated to play. Right? So you have to see something in him that me personally, right? I mean, I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Once they moved him back to the midfield, I saw a lot more.
The last two home games were his best two games. I think he was so much more effective when he could see the opponent's goal. He had a full range of passing in front of him. You know, he wasn't digging the balls out with his back to goal, trying to make something happen. He looked so much more comfortable when he was playing holding mid. The problem is, though, would you play Brian ahead of Barkley and Bichu?
No.
You know, so Brian may be riding the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't.
That was my point.
But injury, we saw what happened when we weren't that deep this year in that holding midfield.
Did
there's
we
so
see
many games
enough
where we
out
had
of,
to push Moose?
Did we see
forward.
Enough out of Barkley's? I mean, there were. Did he really play enough to really warrant that?
Yes.
When he was out there, he was game changing.
I mean, I thought so too. But then again, I can't rely on it.
But well, I feel a bit more comfortable if you have both Bichu and Gaul
that turf.
At that. In that position,
I think our mistake with Barkley was the fact that we only got one of him. We need to go out and get two more of that caliber player.
Or get him some new knees.
Yeah. We need two more players of that caliber so that if one goes down, we're not scratching our heads waiting for a return date like we were.
So we all need to be emailing Barkley saying, call your buddies.
Call your buddies.
Former MLS guys, yeah.
It's not tapping up
you
if you do
these
it.
Guys were
Has Brad right. Davis done in Houston yet? Maybe he can retire up here.
Tell me, excuse me. Did I just sneeze?
Yeah, allergy season. It's allergy season, Bird.
Back to Steve Ralston in AC days.
Yeah. Be calm. All right. So we're getting close to the end here. So
to the bitter end?
Really? Till the bitter end. Available on Amazon.com. Search under Lulligans. You'll find that. You'll also find Craft Beer Coolers, another great sponsor. Anything you wanted to add here, Mark? Any referee wisdom you want to impart? Tell us how we're all doing things wrong.
No, I won't bore you with my refereeing experience. But I will say it. You helped me earlier, 314-814-3897, YourElectric.com, YourElectricSTL.com. Thank you.
Link on the website. We always put it out there. And he does good work, except for in his own house.
I'd like to say one more thing real quick.
Of course.
The U.S. game coming up, obviously. We've heard from AO National, at least through Ryan anyway, that our AO section is going to be about 4,000 for this game.
That's it?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Apparently, AOS National is recommending us to have between 8 and 12 capos. That's what they said.
Wow.
But we are looking for a few more people to help out. So if you're interested in helping myself and Costin and Liz and all that, probably Keith too, I'm guessing, Let us know, and we can. It's not hard, honestly. You know, you only have so many megaphones, but you know, just be loud.
I'm already picturing this tryout scene where you're sitting there behind a table yelling at people to dance, dance.
These are not spirit fingers.
Yeah.
These are spirit fingers.
Sounds like a podcast.
This is getting creepier now. It was possible.
Also, if you've not seen on USsoccer.com, there is a special St. Louis commemorative scarf, which does look the business. You know, it's 25 bucks, but it's not often that you get your home city emblazoned on a U.S. soccer scarf.
And
hopefully it's often. Hopefully from here on out it's often.
If we had a real stadium, it might be.
And from what I understand, the women's one sold out fairly quickly in stadium. So if you want to get one, I highly recommend getting one online while you can.
I know that was one at the women's game.
Yeah, that's the point. That's how fast they sold out. That evidently they were gone real quickly. So
Yikes.
If you want one, get one online. Now is the time.
So what are you doing next Friday, Louisville?
I think they're coming up here if they want to be where it's at.
Yeah. We still got football.
Well,
both types. I was gonna,
going downhill. Marcus, thoughts?
I didn't share already.
No, but you were a newbie, right? This year, you this was your
So kind of to go along that's a great point, right? You know, unfortunately, Mark Gardner told me about football, right? And I as being an old rugger, right? I love.
Shut up.
We need
No, we need everybody we can get. I mean, that's really the way this works.
I had no idea Marcus would have been this interested. And, you know, it just comes back to the example. Just bring somebody out. You never know. And, you know, Marcus, sure, I'll come to the game. And, you know, next thing you know, he's practically there at every tailgate helping out. And
on the patio beforehand?
Absolutely. I mean,
UFC, sorry.
UFC, UFC fan, but. That was the only time.
Did you see him taking on the house or the mountain the other day, this week, from Game of Thrones?
Oh yeah,
the video came out like yesterday or the day before, that they were just like sparring around him versus the mountain.
That's not gone well for other people.
Yeah, it is. It's funny because McGregor's like really putting some punches into his stomach, and he's just like barely moving with him, and you just kept waiting for him to reach out with one of those bear paws and just drop. You could tell they were. I think they were doing no headshots, and I think that kind of hurt the mountain a little bit.
That's kind of his move.
Yeah, he just kind of wanted. You could see he just wanted to bear paw him upside the head and was like, ugh, I can't do it. Check it out. It's worth watching. Mr. House, thoughts?
By the end of the podcast, I finally learned where my microphone should be, so that's pretty awesome. You guys are probably going to be turning it up and turning it down quite a bit when you listen to this in the car.
It's going to be a lot of mastering tomorrow.
But I'm just disappointed we didn't get to talk about Chelsea. I know there was a rule we weren't allowed to talk about Chelsea, but I thought it'd be really.
You made that rule before it was awesome to talk about Chelsea.
As a Chelsea fan, I was very excited. We didn't talk about
that. Was a rule.
As the producer of this podcast, the Chelsea talk must continue. Let's talk about how they're going to go down with Newcastle this year. See, I can take going down because we've already been down before. It's not that big a deal, and quite honestly, I don't really care to watch anymore because I have STLFC to be concerned with.
What's your thoughts, Mark? I mean, seriously, do you think is he going to turn it around, or you've got to get rid of him?
I bet he doesn't make it through.
There's no way Abramovich is going to be patient enough. He's going to get rid of him.
Does he make it to Christmas?
No, he doesn't make it to Thanksgiving.
They'll make some deal.
So who comes in?
It doesn't
Jason
matter.
Jason Christ, apparently.
Brendan.
You know, everybody that they wanted is already spoken for. You had that big
Dr. Evil come back.
Now, that would be fun. As long as she can go down on the pitch and bend over and treat somebody, we'll be all right. We're not really having Chelsea talk right now, are we?
Yeah. Yep. This is the only time it's approved. This is the only time it's approved. As much Chelsea talk about them being...
You had so much talk about them wanting Pep Guardiola, and he's got his job over there.
How pissed would Jose be to be replaced at Chelsea by Pep?
He's a champion.
I don't know.
I don't think
he's a champion.
Pep's got Mourinho's problem. Pep's never built a team either. He's inherited a team everywhere.
Now, wait a second. You're saying, okay, so.
You guys are going through a bit of a rehab.
I think your team needs rebuild, yeah.
What happens is it doesn't make sense what happened last year.
I love watching Chelsea stammer.
It doesn't make sense. You won the league. You won it handily. And all of a sudden, it just fell.
Why don't you just go ahead and double that offer for John Stones in the January? Maybe we'll think about it.
This is just great. I love it. I really do.
But, you know, you had Terry and Cech and Lampard and Ivanovic. You had that core click.
You had that spine. Mm-hmm. That spine well, that was so funny, but you had the fantastic.
But you had the player power as well. And those players, you piss those players off like AVB did, like Scolari did, and they will gut you, those players. And the players need to are being slowly broken up. And the players... That click is not playing for Mourinho because they know the time's coming to an end and that the team is going to need rebuilt.
I mean, how are you going to teach the new people to shoot BB guns at the interns? Let's you know, any of the other criminal behavior.
Yeah, Ashley Cole as well. I forgot about him. Yeah, but he was part of that click, you know.
How are you going to be able to sleep with other players' wives if this isn't at training every day?
By just parking in disabled parking spots.
Yes. Yeah, you gotta. I mean, these guys coming up that are from the other leagues, they don't know how to park their Land Rovers in disabled parking spots. They have to be taught this. John Terry has a role to play in teaching the behavior. I mean, Juan Mata, you know.
He was a golden child. Yeah.
I wish this was a video podcast. So that you guys
by the way, when I met Juan Mata here in St. Louis, he was a fantastic guy. I sat. Let me tell you the quick story.
I'm watching our sponsorship dollars go away, but this is so well worth it.
I'm going to give you an awe-inspiring moment. So anyway, we had the Chelsea game here in St. Louis against Man City, and
it's awesome when a championship team plays Man City.
Greg and I
sounds like a great Europa Cup game. Doesn't it?
I just need you guys to imagine this. I'm
listening, Mark.
At the casino downtown,
Chelsea's in
town, and I am sitting at a table with Juan Mata, Azpilicueta, and Torres.
Oh, God, I'm going to edit this out later. I'm so bored.
Torres. And I can't imagine how much money they're all making between each other, and then you got me.
And they were fighting over the bill.
No, they were leaving
but
it with
I'll
him.
Be,
I mean, you're in a casino, and these guys, it was just one of those moments. It was just very, you know, anyway, as a Chelsea fan, for I'll go back to 94, we lost to Manchester United in the FA Cup final. That was my first one, by the way. And to be here, anyways, in that moment, that really got me. I was just like, I don't belong here, but.
No, I didn't.
I didn't belong there. It was so odd.
Nor did Fernando Torres.
Did he look lost? He didn't know what to do.
I think I look lost.
This has just been great because with all the struggles that Chelsea's going through, I don't see any of the stupid keep the blue flag high bullshit. I don't see any of the, Chelsea, one team, blah. Yeah, all these guys that are so rah-rah, they're mighty quiet. And it's amazing how quiet it gets when you start suffering like I do.
Welcome to my world. I think the only person that could understand that was Mr. Bird here a couple years ago with United.
No, but the thing is that it goes back
United was never in relegation zone.
They.
but it goes
seriously.
But it goes back to what I was saying.
You're in Newcastle land, dude. I mean, come on.
Hey, they didn't make the Champions League. I mean, you know.
It goes back to what I was saying.
It was a new experience.
All
right. It goes back to what I was saying about St. Louis FC and the fact that we struggled this year. That is soccer. You know, aside Bayern Munich, aside Chelsea, aside United, aside Barcelona and Real Madrid, soccer is horrible.
It's a fickle beast.
It is a horrible sport to stand there through the turgid drudgery that is following your team. And what we did last year was no different to Sunderland fans. It was no different to Ibar fans and Carpi fans and Bari fans and, you know, Vitória Guimarães fans and, you know.
He's making up names
now.
Your
best quote last year was, we're going to Kansas City. And we're on that bus ride, and we're all fired up, and you're just like, this is football. This is fucking football. That's what you said, and it from a man that had that experience over there. This was my FA Cup experience. Mm-hmm. That was it. I mean, and it was that road trip, and you summed it up right in that moment, and.
Because it's nothing different.
I never had that experience. And for all those years as a fan, as a supporter, that was it. And it was just that road trip. And we were going to go take on the big boys that one night.
It was life at that moment.
Oh, man.
It was life.
Fantastic.
And whether you support Stockport County or Notts County or a little team in Italy, that's being a football fan. That's what we do. And people look at the Timbers and look at them with awe. There is nothing different than what we do every other Saturday to what they do. They just got more of them. There's nothing different.
And how many people were there when AC St. Louis played Portland? 5,000. It was like 5,300.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, we're doing that now.
Which we're doing now.
So, it's a good time. I like it.
But you go back to the KC trip. I went with Landon and Sean down to Tulsa for the friendly, and we won in the last minute. That for me, was one of my top five experiences following a team. It was. There's nothing beats a last minute winner away from home, whether it's USL or Manchester United. There's nothing better than it. And with that, I'm done.
We're ending it there. Thanks to our guests. Appreciate your major contributions to Pizzagate. In honor of Brad being crippled and being home, he was the engineer of that. But you know. I'm sure he'd be proud of you, too, if he was here. Pour some out for your broken homie.
I already drank it all, so I can't pour it.
But just shake your... Never mind.
I was hoping he'd be here with his bowl of magic pills. That last podcast was pretty entertaining.
Let's steal from kids.
Yeah. Again, this is what goes through Brad's mind all the time. You're just...
The filter's just gone.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's like before the podcast starts. It just kept carrying right on. So it was...
All right, y'all.
We will see you at Busch Stadium for the game. Be there. Enjoy.